Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Hope. Hope is God's provided future. Hope, not just any hope will do, but the kind of hope that is durable and renewable, and the kind of hope that is provided for you during these days of COVID-19. We know that not just any hope will take care of our future, but it's the big hope of God, the promise of God at work in our world and through our lives. That's why in a different era, in a different crisis, the prophet Jeremiah said, "I know the plans I have for you, the plans to help you and not to harm you, the plans to give you hope and a future." This is the kind of hope that comes to us, and it highlights that hope is a choice. When we choose God, we choose hope. When we choose God's kind of hope, we choose our future placed in our hands. Where you are right now, know that the promise of the Apostle Paul is there for you. When he wrote to a difficult situation to the church of Colossae, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." So it is that God is wanting to reveal his presence through your life during our current crisis. How is it that we connect ourselves into the full power of God for this crisis in which we are living through? It's because we have connected into the full promise of God, which begins with a Sabbath hope. The kind of hope that enables us to know that God will see us through. So the Apostle Paul, in the last letter that he ever wrote, said, "I believe, and in my belief, I know this is to be true, that God will see us through." We lean into the presence of God, and to know that this is a hope that sets us free from being controlled by anxiety, being controlled by circumstances that affect us, but they don't have to center us in the problem. That God comes with a promise in our life in the very moment of creation that gives us the capacity to know that he is with us, he is here in our life and true. For Sabbath is God's GPS, the global positioning system that began nearly 60 years ago in a response to the challenge of space, that's been used by the Defense Department, now is made available by every region of our world, that you can even find your home, where you're living, where your car is, by exercising your GPS. And though that is convenient for us and helpful for us and provides for us needed information, what is most important is to know that God has a way for you to know your position with him in this world and the times we are living. This God's positioning system is what sets our calendar and sets in motion all of our being and doing. You're made in the image of God. God's very presence is connected to not only your having come into the world with the timing of God, but his presence is with you. A faith in Jesus Christ is what fully activates his presence. If the faith in Christ is what fully empowers you to live to the potential by which you were created in this world, and to know that the promise of this truth has to have renewable periods that are called Sabbath. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And because of the gift of the Sabbath day, we can find rest and we may experience the goodness that God provides for us. That on the seventh day of creation, in this expression of God creating the heavens and the universe, after each day the Lord said it was good. But on the seventh day of the Sabbath day, he said it was very good. That God brings the blessing and the gift of time, that he created within you and me not only the capacity for Sabbath, but the need for worship in Sabbath. This kind of Sabbath is God's creative power continuing to stir his promise in you. All of us have had to change our normal routine, and we're all anxious and curious about when it is that we may get back into a normal routine. But here's a word of God for our life now. May your normal routine, be reset and be recommissioned by the renewing experience of your having used this time of working remotely, sheltering in place, or the altar changes required in your life because you have been uniquely with God in Sabbath. The word Sabbath is Sabbath. It is a Hebrew word that became a Greek word, that became a Latin word, that became an English word. All that means is the very name Sabbath is renewing power. And that God has a way of setting into the course of our soul that we need Him. And we can only find our place in any stage of our life when we let the compass of our soul be connected to the North Star of what God is calling us to within our life and our future. As a Sabbath people, then, we are renewed in the Sabbath hope. It is the divine time and purpose that God gives us by this experience of Sabbath. Now, we have sinned against Sabbath. As a culture, we have sinned against Sabbath. As a society, we have sinned against Sabbath. We have sinned against Sabbath in America and every country of our globe, and even as every country and territory on our earth is affected by COVID-19 and thinking the same thing. It is also a God-provided opportunity in a downside situation to lift us back right up that begins with the understanding of who we are in light of Him. That's the purpose of Sabbath. Now, in the Jewish tradition, that was sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. But given that Christ was resurrected on the third day of His crucifixion, that first day of the week, that Sunday, so it is that the early Christians, some from a Jewish background, would have continued to worship on the Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. But progressively, the Christians began to look at what they called the Lord's Day. God's Day, the first day of the week. This Sabbath hope enables us to rest in God's presence, to be renewing ourselves. And when we rest in God's presence, we're renewing our divine time and purpose in light of Him. Do you understand that? Do you get the feel for that? Do you see the purpose of that being at work? Now, any of us have to be reminded by this. And that in the reminding of it, we see that from the time of creation, the people of the Scriptures needed to be reminded. So it was set in the heart of the Ten Commandments. When God was again creating a vision for the future, by people living in love, in trust, in goodness with each other, by people living in the hope of what God intended for creation to be, in the Ten Commandments, He said, and remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The Sabbath certainly is about what we're doing now. It certainly is about worship. It certainly is about prayers that we pray during our worship time that you may be praying on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and again into Sunday. The Scriptures that were read for us by Ethan and August, those Scriptures are there for you to kind of stir you in the week with a full awareness that these Scriptures are for life. The giving that CMAC called us to the ministries of our church, is a reminder that all we have is from God. And that in this, we give one-tenth unto the Lord's purposes as a way of dedicating that one-tenth in a living reminder that life is a gift and we are grateful to God and we give this directly into His purposes that are there. And the message that Debbie brought is the message that we can't figure it all out on our own, but we can have a faith relationship with God. And in Sabbath rest, we bring our worries to the Lord. We give them to Him so that He may lift them from the burden of our life and may reconfigure them for our life. So Jesus would say just before a section on Sabbath teaching, all of you who are weary, tired by life, you're burdened by the responsibilities that you carry, come to me and find your rest in me. Then I will have your yoke, your call for obedience, your responsibilities to fit you just right. That's what Sabbath is. Sabbath is the experience of this worship time, letting God speak to us, but it also is a 24-hour period. It also is a time in which we take a break from our normal routine and we extend ourselves with a chance to catch our breath. we extend ourselves in relationships, and that we take the moments of worship and for Bible study, and we extend that into being able to think through our lives in light of God. It's on a Sunday, it's on a Sabbath, when God may make clear to us that we need to forgive someone instead of holding a grudge. It's on a Sabbath time that God make clear to us that we have had a feeling of arrogance from which we need to repent, or we've had a feeling of inferiority by which we need to be lifted up. It's in a Sabbath time that God may say to us, we've been holding grudges by a racism. We've been holding grudges by a classism. We've been trying to position ourselves over and against others instead of being with others in a bridge builders in a broken society. Sabbath renews us to the sacred purpose. What does God want to come from Sabbath? He wants the clarity of the other 6 days of creation to be lived within our midst. That's what God is stirring for us. We're praying as a people. This Thursday is a National Day of Prayer. And though we won't be gathering at Tri Point for the city of San Antonio as we have done for the last several years, we will certainly be praying for God's coming power upon the people of America, experiencing our need and dependence in a way that makes us strong in light of Him. Like many of you, our pastors are Zooming and doing webinars and telephone calling and connecting with people of our church, with people in our city and through this region and around the world, allowing best practices and best thinking to inform us as well as to give messages of encouragement. I've had the privilege of doing that on several occasions with our mayor, Ron Nirenberg. And as our prayers have been with him and with Nelson Wolf, our county judge executive, or with our Governor Abbott, with our president, with our leaders, so it is that we experience in the pause of prayer, like in this Zoom photo, of what it means just to be centered in the midst of decision making and awareness of God. Now, what is also true that I know from my life and I know from your life, when we bring our worries to God in prayer, and we leave that prayer time worrying just as much as we were before we began praying, we were not praying to God. We were praying to the idol of our worry. We were praying with a fear that we cannot control, and we didn't give our false sense of control with God so that He could reset us in His presence, then to release us with the capacity to do what it is that we can do as He does what only He can do. You see, what prayer does, it gives us that perspective. What worship does on Sabbath, what Sabbath does to the other days of the week, it gives us the larger perspective by stepping out of a God-called obedience from Monday through Saturday, but the experience to do it then. Here's a challenge. Don't let soccer leagues and baseball leagues set the agenda of what happens on Sunday morning. That we as a society have created this volunteer movement that the church has been absolutely central in. But what has happened in the volunteer movement of Sunday is that when we haven't stood up to say that other cultural activities moving into the Sunday morning experience, then what the experience of worship and Bible study and the gathering of the church is just like one among many choices that we can make. Well, you got that freedom. But that's not a freedom that's going to send you to the joy and the power of a fulfilled life. It's not going to take you to your full potential. And the greatest investment that parents can make in the life of the children, the grandparents with grandchildren, is connecting them into the promise of what you yourself know to be true. That we need this moment of being shaped, even if it's by Facebook Live, it's by live stream. We need the moment that when we can gather again in person, we need that experience of being together in light of God's presence and power. You've heard me quote studies in the past that began with Harvard University. They've been affirmed by the School of Medicine at Duke and also at Stanford. That people who are involved in a religious community extend their lifespan by as much as 15 years. Now, why is that? Because there's something about getting together around a common purpose. It's the give and take of relationships. It's a sense of being together in light of a presence of God as a community of faith that we extend how we were created in the image of God and our DNA for a rich and full life. Part of our commitment at Trinity is that we're going to try to remove as much hassle as we can from church life. But you know what that won't include? It won't include the exclusion of people. All of us may have somebody in our mind, if it wasn't for so-and-so, then life would just be perfect. But let me remind you, what Sabbath rest does is it gives us the capacity to love and to shape our promise for God, even for the people that we consider to be the problem people in our life. And the very work of doing that is exactly what these scientific studies have shown. It grows our character and our stamina and our soul to be enduring and victorious in this world. I began this year not knowing that COVID-19 was coming. It was a quote by one of the writers of the past that's been a mentor for me since college days. His name is the Christian Soren Kierkegaard. Vicky wouldn't let me name one of our children Soren, so we named our dog Soren. And so beginning this year, came across again this quote, in which he said, "The path is not the problem. The problem is the path." The path is not the problem. The problem is the path, meaning it is the very challenge that comes within our path that as we push our way through in light of God, that we find that we have not only conquered the problem and found a resolution, but we have been made stronger and we are renewed for the path that we are on. Sabbath rest gives us a chance then to reset our clock and calendar and our priorities about Sabbath, about living in the harmony of God's ways. When we can feel out of the whack on a Wednesday, it's a way for us to be renewed by what we had experienced past Sunday and looking for the Sunday that is ahead. Early in my ministry, when I was a college minister and outside of the University of Tennessee, where they wear a different shade of orange, it was a Monday after a Sunday that I went to the balcony at First Baptist Church, Knoxville, just across from the campus. And I said, "Lord, I promise that I will give my Sundays to you." Not because I wasn't yet ordained, not because I thought I would become a vocational minister, but I just knew that there was something sacred about that. And for me, that was setting that Sunday would be the first day of the week, that it would set a tone for all that would come in the course of the week. And though I have done it imperfectly, I found that that early commitment that I made indeed has given me a renewing of God's presence that I would not have had otherwise. I mean, still today, I wake up on Sunday morning not only excited to be together in worship, not only to join together in my brothers and sisters and colleagues for worship leadership and to see what God will do and the power of worship, because worship is the experience of the holy God. Worship is coming in the midst of all that it means and which we can experience God. But I wake up on Sunday because a new day has begun. A new week has begun. And in that new day and new week, there's a freshness. I haven't yet messed it up. And so I go with that feeling, just with a new momentum, that this could be the best week that I could ever live, and the freshness of a new opportunity. Now, all of us need that in our life. We have regrets. But God has a way for us to set these regrets aside and let them be set new and fresh in light of His grace, so the past doesn't just hold over us. So in the midst of this resetting, August and Ethan read about two encounters of Jesus on Sabbath. Jesus, who was embodying the very meaning of worship, he experienced Sabbath day essential in his own life. He began his ministry on a Sabbath day. He taught and performed miracles on a Sabbath day. And he brought the clarity of what it means to rest in God, be empowered by God in such a way that it threatened those who did not want to be controlled by God, but wanted to control God. That's idolatry. So he said to them on the Sabbath day that Sabbath is a gift in Mark 2:27-28. That Sabbath is a gift for you. And so don't try to control it with your human-made rules. Let it then be what it is in light of a presence of God to shape your way. For even the Lord, the Son of Man, is the Lord over the Sabbath. Even as Jesus was the God-man, even as Jesus was the Messiah on the mission of God's salvation into our world, so as the Son of Man, He is the Lord of all, the Lord of Sabbath. And He brings us into the Lord's Day experience by His very presence, His very purpose, and His very power. That it can be said then for us that we have let Sabbath be a gift of God within our life. And this gift is what takes us into this next place where we can see the experience of what God provides. Part of the gift of what it means to be the family of God, like the family of God of Trinity Baptist Church, is to know each other, our life and our story. Some were brand new in getting to know who we are. We're catching up with each other by our social media. We're catching up with each other by phone calls. We're catching each other by Zoom. And others are long-term relationships. You know, the Trinity is always an open door for anyone to step in. We want to be able to share life because we are an open door of God's ministry into the world, that we enter into the world together, the doorway that God provides. Ernie and Francis Jones like are two of these members. Ernie and Francis, who have been beautiful servant leaders in the life of our church. And Ernie, who was recently connected to hospice, that his breathing has become more and more difficult. And that in the midst of being under hospice care, Vicki and I recently made a physical distancing pastoral care visit in their backyard and took this photograph. And you can see on their face smiles. You can see on their face love. You can see on their face in the midst of a troubling challenge, they know that the presence of God is with them. They are resting in the presence of God. They are resetting their understanding of life in light of having rested in God's presence and their love and their purpose for each other. See, God is never defeated. We can be on God's winning team, but we need to be able to rest and reset on God's winning team so that we ourselves can be set free from circumstances that otherwise would drag us under and drown us in the worries of the world. You're better than that, and God's bigger than that. That's what hope is. It gives you that vision. So by resting in God's presence, that's the experience of this 24-hour way of living a day. Now, some of you have to work on Sundays. We know that. We pray for you. We bless you. Many of you are in job situations where you've told me you've had to negotiate with your supervisor to at least get Sunday mornings off so we could be together in the worship time. We know that there are complexities with all of that, but what I'm saying to you is that in the struggle of trying to get that right, that time sacred for you, that you may help also provide that for others, and by claiming the importance of it, God hears your prayer, He knows your heart, and He will be able to set that as a direction in your life. Now, back in the days when we used to be able to take vacations to other parts of Texas or the other parts of the nation or even in the world, the vacation was trying to get away from it all. And then we would come back, and from having been away from it all, there was always the question, how long would it feel like we were back into where we were and the pressures of life? See, Sabbath is God's way that we don't have to leave to get away, that we are renewed by being in His presence, and He has reset our priorities and what we do with our schedules so that we can be recommissioned in our life purpose, that we may live in obedience and joy. Resting and resetting is essential, but it takes us into the recommissioning of our purpose. And the recommissioning of your life is your talents becoming abilities, and abilities, skills that you then use on behalf to others. And that as you're obediently using them, you give that joy, the joy present of God's hope into the world. That's what Jesus is saying then in this passage around Mark 3, where He lays it out. He said, now, then Jesus asked them, which is more lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save a life or to kill? He was asking that of bullies. He was asking that of people who were trying to control life by controlling the rules, control God by controlling the rules. And to these bullies, He said to them face to face, don't play games with God. Because what God's power is, He is always about doing good. And Sabbath is always about restoring the goodness of God into the goodness of people so that people may do right in life. And so to this one man, who on that Sabbath day, who was in the worship experience with Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus looked at him and he said, "Stand up before everybody." And the people were wondering, will he heal on the Sabbath? And God wants you to know that he comes the healing power in your life 7 days a week. He comes in the power of your life with renewing force. 7 days of the week, not a surprise. God created in 7 days, seven epochs, periods of time, 7 days of the week. And so in the biblical world, there were seven sacred festivals through the course of the year, that in 7 years' time, there was to be a sabbatical, a renewing for an extended period of time. And then a jubilee year was that every 50 years after seven times seven, the year by which everything was to be reset, rethought, refelt as a culture and a society. This doesn't look like a jubilee year, does it? And yet, maybe that's exactly how we can, in God's power, turn a downside situation right side up. To reset what we do as a society as we go forward. And how will that happen? It'll happen through you, your commission, and setting that direction forward. Among the people I'm in conversation with in Zoom time are some of my colleagues. Bob Fuller at First Presbyterian Church, Tom Gibbs at Redeemer Prez, Patrick Gahan at Christ Episcopal Church, and Chris Johnson at First Baptist Church. When we meet in Zoom, where we had met once a month for a meal and conversation and prayer and looking at best thinkings and how it's going, we now are gathering like all of us in different ways through Zoom Connect. And we do then, we pray for our congregations. We feel a kinship and the purpose, though we're different in our church's personalities. There's a sacredness and a together, not only among our five congregations, but all congregations called in the power and the presence of God. And what we say to each other is that we are commissioned for such a time as this to cast God's vision into the world, even as we think through when is it that we as churches will be able to regather again in person. The larger question is, how are we allowing God to do spiritual formation in our life during this Sabbath season? So, they were wondering of Jesus in that account of Mark 3. Will he heal the man and therefore in their minds break the Sabbath? And so when Jesus said to that man, "Stretch out your hand. Stand in front of each one." He was calling for that man to claim that the presence of God was there in that worship experience, and then he gave the authority for the withered hand on the man to be healed. Now, there are parts of my body that are like a withered hand. There are parts in your life that too. And not all of that gets healed in a way that it looks like it once did before the illness or the harm was ever done. But what God can say in the midst of whatever situation has occurred to us, he comes with the power to either give us the capacity to live as it is victoriously with obedience and joy, and maybe that's what brings also the change in our circumstance itself. My hope for you is that you will take today's songs, today's prayers, today's scriptures, the messages and the call for us, that you will allow this to have a shaping force for you to pause. Don't pre-think what your conclusions are. Let God guide you. So in the song of response, I'm asking you now then to relax, take a deep breath. As Jacob and our worship band lead us in a song that calls us into the presence of God, that you may say, "Lord, oh, I see it more clearly now. You just want me to be with you. You just want me to trust you. You want me to have all the hopes of my life to be shaped by my hope in you, and by my hope in you, all the hopes of my life will be shaped just right. Lord, it's clear to me now. Be with me in the midst of my not knowing how questions are going to find the right answers of how things are going in business or finances, in relationships, or in health. But all that being brought into the Lord's presence now in a response time, just give it to him. For Jesus says, come to me, everyone who has laid down by the press and pull of life." And what will the Lord do? Well, the author of Hebrews put it this way. Since we receive a kingdom that will not be shaken, let us worship God with reverence and awe. Bring Him the awe of your soul, the reverence of your mind and heart, and see what God will do. Lord, I come.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.